and direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Joe Biden is on his first foreign trip as president. He made many of them as vice president. He made many of them as chair of the Foreign Service Committee for many, many years in the Senate. Probably the most, one of the most experienced foreign policy statesmen in our history to then become president, other than Thomas Jefferson. He was ambassador. He was in France, and he was pretty, especially back then, he didn't fly to France. You took a ship. Pretty experienced, too. Biden's over there. He gave a speech in Britain, in England, to U.S. service members. We have a lot of U.S. service members stationed in Britain. Up in Holy Loch, Scotland, we have a submarine base. We have troops based in England itself, in Northern Ireland. We've had bases in the past. Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, is a strong ally of the United States. Biden's in friendly territory. And he said in that speech, it was a great speech. Take a look at it on YouTube. He said, the U.S. will respond in a robust and meaningful way when the Russian government engages in harmful activities. There are consequences for violating the sovereignty of democracy around the world, and especially in Europe and the United States. Let me say that again. Here's what he said, and the service members just burst into spontaneous applause. The U.S. will respond in a robust and meaningful way when the Russian government engages in harmful activities. There are consequences for violating the sovereignty of democracy in the U.S., Europe, and elsewhere. That's what he said. He also said, I'm going to be meeting with Vladimir Putin, and I'm going to tell him what I want him to know. This is a very cleverly scheduled trip because it starts with Biden and a friendly ally of the United States, Great Britain, speaking to American troops. Then he has scheduled meetings with the G7. The G7 are the seven most wealthy countries in the world. Basically, their economies, especially their banking and trade economies, essentially define the world economy. Then he has meetings with EU, European Union ministers, and our NATO allies. And it's a message. The alliance is back. The alliance of Western civilization is back. The alliance with Europe, the alliance with NATO, our allies in the EU, they're back. And then he's going to meet with Putin in Geneva, Switzerland. Now, what does Putin do? Putin, beleaguered. A lot of people hate him over there. When they do a poll, he has like 85% approval rating. Guy sitting in an apartment in Moscow, the phone rings. Hi, this is the KGB. We're doing a poll. Do you like Putin? What do you say? You like your job? You want to make sure your wife isn't kidnapped and disappears? You say, yeah, I love Putin. I love Putin. That's what they say. But the fact of the matter is, Russia has an economy the size of Italy, but unlike Italy, Russia is a massive country with over 300 million people trying to subsist on that. The life expectancy, ever since Gorbachev and Yeltsin's innovation with democracy ended when Putin came in roughly in the year 2000, roughly 20 years ago, the life expectancy has gone down. People are not doing well economically. There are shortages. And all we have to do is apply slight economic pressure and they start to gasp for air. But so how does Putin react to this terrific speech by Biden? He tries to show that he's strong at home, and here's how he does it. Remember Alexei Navalny? Alexei Navalny was the opposition leader who was arrested by Putin and put in jail, and they tried to kill him. He was almost dead. They were feeding him poison. You know, they tried to poison him once. Fortunately, he got out of it, went to a hospital in Germany, and they got him back. Then he went back to Russia, threw him in prison, and started poisoning him again. If you control a man in prison, you can just start giving little bits of poison in his food every day. He was a skeleton. He was about to die. The West put tremendous pressure on Putin. Putin backed off Navalny right now. Doesn't look like he's about to kill him. I'm surprised, frankly. I think probably, very likely, Putin considered killing him as a response to Biden. But if that had happened, Biden would have canceled the meeting. Right now, Putin, as of June 1, Russia can't sell bonds denominated in rubles. That's their money. They have debt. They need debt. They need capital. They need people to buy their debt. And they ain't going to find it. So he did an intermediate thing. He did not kill Navalny. He was afraid that Biden would cancel the meeting and continue to strangle him economically. So what he did was he yesterday outlawed Navalny's party. It's a criminal offense in Russia to belong with it now, as of yesterday. Some of the other groups that are outlawed are ISIS, you know, comparing Alexei Navalny to ISIS. Alexei Navalny would restore democracy to Russia. And most consequentially, no follower of Navalny in that party can run for parliament. They don't even let him run for parliament. Over here in the United States, we let any nut run for parliament. They run for parliament. Look, it's called Congress, you see? And sometimes they get in. How do you think Marjorie Taylor Greene got in? She was running against a medical doctor, conservative, well-liked in that district. Everybody had endorsed the guy. You know, apparently he was honest, even though he was right-wing. She killed him. Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's what happens over here. You get an occasional nut. Okay. Deal with it. Well, over there, Navalny's not a nut, and this is the Reform Party. The Reform Party is now barred from running for the Duma, it's called. It's an old word, a Duma, D-U-M-A. It's the Russian parliament. And their group is compared to ISIS. Now, what does Biden do with that? I don't think he cancels the Geneva talk with Putin over that. He would have if they'd killed Navalny. However, I think he sits there and he has a lot to talk about. Ukraine, hacking in the 2020 election, hacking into the 2016 election, hacking into the colonial pipeline, hacking into the food, the meat processor, closed down some meat plants in this country. You know, what do you do when the other guy is essentially an international ragamuffin? Nobody trusts his country, likes his, the leadership. They love the people. Russian people are great people. I've been in Russia, St. Petersburg, Moscow, excellent people. Their leadership is corrupt, vicious. So what do you do? We have a joint space agreement with them where we're going to send Russian and American astronauts to the space station and on other things till the year 2025. That's 4 years from now. What do? You want as much cooperation as possible, but how do you tell them stop weaponizing electronic radiation to damage our diplomats? Stop threatening Ukraine. I mean, if they go farther into Ukraine, they're already using Russian Palomar. Let's say they take Ukraine. They go all the way through and take Kiev. What do? The EU has conventional forces throughout the Black Sea. They have conventional forces all around Ukraine. We arm Ukraine. I don't think we send American troops there. But at what point do we stop Putin from going into Eastern Europe? At one time, they had Poland, they had Latvia and Lithuania. Well, they had Hungary, for that matter, and they had the old Czechoslovakia. They had Serbia, Croatia, communist, all of these. They all got driven out. He's got to stop them at some point. You got to stop them at some point. And when do you stop them? Back in 1939, Hitler goes into Czechoslovakia. We weren't involved then. The British said, well, I guess he promised he'd stop there. And then he went into Poland. And then finally, we had to stop Hitler. This is a desperate country, Russia. It's a country. It's not doing well economically. And everybody ignores all this stuff. They go, oh, well, you know, should only talk about domestic issues. Well, I'll tell you something. It's a very important issue. And I'm glad that Joe Biden's in charge of the country right now. So stand by. Be aware of all these nuances. And we're going to have a lot to say when Joe Biden meets with Vladimir Putin in Geneva. A lot to say. Foxconn. I was a lonely voice against Foxconn going back to 2017. Walker put it through, $4.5 billion max to a Chinese company to protect them from competition. If they want to make a profit, great. Why don't they just do it like anyone else? We don't give $4.5 billion to Miller Brewing Company, Johnson Controls, Briggs and Stratton. Why do we give it to a Chinese company? These other companies hire more people than they did. And they lied and said they'd have 53,000 a year salaries, average 13,000 employees. None of that happened. Mount Pleasant and Racine are on the hook in bonding for almost $1 billion for site preparation. People had their houses taken away from them. Didn't want to give them up for nothing. Nothing's happening down there. Now the latest announcement, it's unbelievable. I have said for 3 years, sue them for breach of contract. They didn't make large screen TVs. They're not making anything. Sucked up a lot of money, make them pay the billion back, and they want to stay here. They do it as a normal private company. No. What's happening now is we're going to pay them $80 million, up to $80 million for what? For what? Hiring people in China who are doing the same stuff? But the latest announcement, which is why I'm bringing it up again now, is Foxconn does not yet know what they're going to do with that campus now, that industrial campus that was leveled on our expense largely, people's houses taken. They just don't. Oh, they don't know. This started back in 2017. This is 4 years later. What do you mean they don't know? They soaked us for $1 billion. They have their hand out for 80 more million. They haven't done anything. They haven't done anything. They said they were going to make coffee makers. Now they say they're going to be contract manufacturers if anybody will hire them. To do what? Scott Walker, this was a fraudulent deal designed to make it look like he was doing something to get reelected. Trump egged him on because he wanted to get reelected. But it's time to do something right now. That's all in the past. And both those guys got beaten. Now we got to do something. And these clowns say, oh, well, we don't know what we're going to use it for. I can tell you what we can use it for. Get out of town. That's what you can use it for. All right. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.